Yes, and welcome to our Friday edition of the Gareth Cliff Show live on The Real Network. Just after Workers' Day yesterday, I don't like calling it Workers' Day. I don't like anything about Workers' Day because it's a commie fucking holiday. Communists celebrate Workers' Day, I will not. It's nonsense that it's even included in our schedule of holidays. But I enjoyed the day. I mean, I did like having a Thursday off. I'll normally come in on a Friday after a Thursday holiday and complain. But there's no resentment here. I'm very happy to be here on this Friday morning. And had yesterday not been a holiday, I would have been happy to work too. See, that's because I'm not a worker, but I like work. How's that? How does that gel with you this morning?
Makes sense. Hi, Gareth. Also, Workers' Day, yet there's so much unemployment. I mean, come on, just scrap it.
Yeah, I mean,
it's patronizing, actually.
Yeah, and also the people who are actually working are doing all the heavy lifting. There's about 20 million South Africans who are depending on those of us who work.
Mm.
So just think about this, all right? If you feel insignificant, not so important, you got, you know, self-esteem issues, who knows? Just stop, because you are absolutely essential to the functioning of this country. We cannot afford to lose one person like you. If you are some unemployed layabout, lazy sack of shit, then certainly we could do without you. But those who work are keeping this entire house of cards afloat. So keep doing it. Keep working hard there. If you took Workers' Day as a celebration of that, I'm all for it.
Silver lining, yeah, sure.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got to look at those. So I see Bitcoin Butts very, very excited. He said, have you taken my advice and adopted Bitcoin? Because he's Bitcoin Butts. He says, we're about to go parabolic. So I don't know. Is there something happening in the Bitcoin world that I'm not aware of?
It's been a good week. Up to $97,000, I think it is currently.
Okay. All right.
As we look at it, 97,167.82.
Why? What's happened?
Surging a bit, Gareth. Fuck knows.
Yeah,
this is the thing about Bitcoin, right? I think it's the future. I believe in all those kind of things, and I like the idea behind it. But when guys go, oh, I'm predicting this, I'm predicting that, I mean, come on. It's like star signs. People will buy it, and there's ups and downs, and it reflects on certain markets. I get all that.
Yeah.
But then you get all these people that are like, okay, yeah, this is going to go on a run now. It's like, do we all come together and make this like a thing?
Well, I mean, I can't pretend that I know all about it. I've spoken to some of the brightest people in South Africa, and some even who are internationally well-known about cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin and, you know, the decentralized ledger and all the important concepts that you need to kind of have your head in if you want to understand the stuff. And I still can't claim to know a goddamn thing.
But it's just they move words around. So whenever there's a bit of a go on Bitcoin, I always go onto the internet to look at what the headlines are from these fucking sites who pretend to know everything.
They don't know.
And it's always cut, paste, and different, and the same words from previous times.
Yeah. No. I can't imagine. All right. So let's get into a couple of things. First of all, if you're concerned, as anybody would be, that Simpiwe is not here, her gran died. And she's very close to her grandmother.
Of course.
And she often used to talk about her on the show. So Sims had a bit of a rough couple of days, and our thoughts are with her. I also just want to tip you off this morning. I woke up to 4 missed calls from Flex, the producer. I was like, shit. You know when you like have a panic? I realized my phone was on silent, so I could hear my alarms. And my alarm had gone off, and I'd had a shower. When I got out of the shower, 4 missed calls from Flex.
Does Flex normally call you?
No, James usually does.
And so James like, just delegated it to Flex.
And then Flex says the following. So I'm like, my immediate response to Flex is like, is everything all right? And he replies with this, which is a terrifying thought. He goes, yes, I'm going to wake James up now. His phone is off. You know, they live right near each other. So apparently then James, his phone had died. No, I mean, that's never a good sign. So with mine on silent, James is dead. Thank God we have one responsible person here. So
Flex,
kudos to Flex this morning, I think.
Flex, I just want you to know that's not how the whites work, eh? I mean, I was
the
up.
The whites.
I was up.
The whites.
Boss James over there just taking it easy. But thank you.
You do anything fun for the public holiday?
Nah, not really. I had a nice gym workout. So I'm great.
I like that they're open on a public holiday.
Yeah, until it's 2 though, which is a bit dicky. Because then you got to
close at 2.
Yeah, I got to structure your day differently. But so I've been doing this. I mean, wanted to gain weight. I told you a while ago I did this whole
You're trying to get to your optimal, what, 87?
Yeah, like what's the ultimate genetic sort of composition I could have as far as muscle.
On your frame.
Muscle mass to frame. So I put on 2.5 kilograms in a month.
Huh.
Which I'm actually pretty excited about. For me, that's a lot.
I mean, for some people, that's just 2 meals.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to have this conversation because everyone goes, oh, well, I wish I could lose weight. It's like, it's not about you. Shut up. So I've now up to 85, which is cool. But I'm going to Scotland in 2 weeks' time. So in May, I'm going to be a golfer again. Because I can't be like lifting heavy weights and golfing at the same time.
No.
It's just that they're out of sync with each other.
Right.
My golf game has gone to shit a little bit. But this weekend, I'm turning it around. So today's my last big workout.
Well, you won't get fat in Scotland. I can promise you their food is horrific.
No, I won't get fat. I mean, just in general.
But Scotland, the food is horrific. That's a very important consideration.
We're going to be in St. Andrews, which is it's a nice town. I've been there before. I was there. So literally 10 years ago to like now. So what I want to do for the rest of my life is do decade trips to St. Andrews.
And you can do that until you're 80 years old.
Absolutely. And I'll have the same friends, health, everything going well.
Well, and when we were in Sun City, when Ben and I went there the other day for our childish going on the slides and rides, we met up with a four-ball of guys who apparently get together every year and play the four majors, but they do it together. Now, I saw this clip yesterday about some guy on a talk show in Britain somewhere. He said the coolest feeling in his life, and he's never going to give up on it, is going away with his friends, his guy friends, and just doing guy things, like playing golf or, you know, going out on the town or whatever it is that you do with your friends. And that's hugely important. He said, the reality is that as you get older, you get less and less of that.
Yeah.
Because you have responsibilities. Essentially, being with your guy mates is the opposite of responsibility. Everybody's completely responsible for themselves. You'll obviously look after each other, but mostly it's like irresponsible. That's why you want to do it.
Carefree.
Yeah, carefree. Let's say that. Because otherwise you've got the kids or a wife or kids and wife or, you know.
Work.
Things you have to bring in for
having
work.
Having to wake up James.
Wake up James. Like Flex, such responsibility. He doesn't want that. So this guy was talking about how important it is for men to keep up those kinds of relationships. Otherwise their lives get horrible.
Well, it's just those endless memories. Like, I know that my memories. So I went to my best friend 10 years ago. Now I'm going to be going with 3 other guys this time round.
This is to St. Andrews.
Yeah, a good friend of mine moved to England, and I don't think he's played much golf or had much time with his friends since then. So we're going to do that. But, you know, that's cool. Another thing we spoke about on the Bounce Show this week was SA's best sports jewels.
Oh, yeah?
And how guys need to use those as excuses to do that. So it doesn't have to be like a big, amazing trip overseas. It can just be, right, this match is being played at what date? We're going to get together and we're going to spend the day together.
Huh.
And sports draws are great. So that episode's obviously on the Real Networks YouTube channel right now.
Very good.
It was lots of fun. My mate, who's a serial sports drawler, Welcome Plessy, he was our guest. And he's done all the trips. He's done all the things.
Sports drawler.
And you go out with this guy, he's got so many friends because he's invested so much in that. He's had a great life. Yeah. It's something to admire.
By the way, I've just been reminded in the comments by Michelle that this show turns 1 this year in its current incarnation at the Real Network. I mean, we've been doing the Gareth Cliff Show for what, 11 years?
2014.
Yeah, 2014 to 2024, and now it's 2025. So, 11 years. And very cool. So, thank you very much for reminding me. That's very good news.
I like a new comment.
Look. Yeah, it's also nice. The whole thing looks a little tidy, and we're getting better and better. So, you know, we got to keep improving. I don't want you to come here and go, oh, my God, this show looks like 2024. We've got to keep moving. Right, guys?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of the comments, that's a good point. Did Flex find James on the shitter?
It's a big reputation that James poos a lot, huh?
A lot. There's a lot of that going on.
It takes a lot of time for number 2.
Whenever he's missing in the office, people are like, well, he must be on the shitter.
When it comes to number 2, James is number 1.
And then this is good. We've got to talk about this at some point. It's been such a thing all over the internet for the last couple of days. Can 100 men beat one gorilla?
No.
How do you say no? What's your thinking? I can't believe we have to get into this. I mean, maybe it's tired
but it is tired.
You have to answer it. Go.
But we have to look at certain things. If those 100 men are sentenced to death, that's the only chance they have of killing that gorilla. An average man will get so frightened by the frenzy of a gorilla in full flight, they'll shit themselves and run. And gorillas bite, and their heads are made for combat.
And they're strong as fuck.
And they're strong as fuck. We don't bite. So our way of killing it is through strangling or blunt force trauma. Our fists aren't big enough. Our arms aren't long or strong enough. So even if we create a human chain to suffocate it, there's a lot of cohesion. There's a lot of composure needed, all of which I don't think 100 men could do.
So you don't think just by sheer numbers we could tire the gorilla? Because I'm thinking that gorillas don't have a lot of stamina.
This is a very good. This is a good point.
Okay,
so I've not considered this.
If you had, I don't know what the demarcated area is, whether there is a demarcated area, but you could,
question.
You could fan out and tire the gorilla out, and eventually it's going to. And also, are men allowed tools? Because if we're allowed,
absolutely
tools,
no tools needed.
No tools. Okay, so we can't use sticks. We can't use cudgels, we can't use swords, we can't use guns, because then the gorilla's fucked.
So you're right, you need to tire it out and then kick it to death.
And really, I think 100 men could smother and overwhelm a gorilla.
Yeah, but what happens when the first 20 get killed?
Oh no, the rest must remain composed. But remember that what you're saying is no different to war. You don't stop fighting because 20 guys go down in the first barrage of fire.
I think now they would.
Now, but they're a bunch of pussies now.
Because you're conditioned for it.
Let's imagine these 100 men who we would be proud of, not 100 soy boys. If they're 100 soy boys, there's no chance. That gorilla will destroy them. Mm. You know?
Yeah. So what
I think there are a lot of variables here.
What this has all got me thinking about, and then quite funnily, he did actually talk about it, is that this is basically the Mr. Beast video that everybody wants to see.
I'd love to see him be destroyed by a gorilla.
It's just that if you look at the nature of all his videos, right? They're all crazy like this, and he makes them. And
come on, man.
And the whole thing is like, this just sounds like a Mr. Beast video waiting to happen. He gets 100 guys together, and the last guy standing gets $1 million, and you got to fight a gorilla.
I wish that, by the way, any women watching the show this morning, you want to know often what men are thinking about? This is the shit we think
endlessly
about.
Endlessly, this kind of stuff.
We're not sitting there thinking about what Daniel said in that conversation at work, or we're not thinking about whether or not we're in love or in lust. We're really not thinking about any of that stuff. We're not thinking about the outcome of a conversation between me and Matilda last Thursday. We're thinking about, could 100 of us take on a gorilla? That's what we think about all the fucking time. Zombie apocalypses, ancient history. I mean, that's like easily 60 to 70% of my time when I'm on my own.
Yeah,
about shit like that.
I would never want to hurt a gorilla. I think they're beautiful animals.
Yeah.
They're endangered and all that kind of stuff.
But in a
life-death situation, I'll take anyone on. But hypothetical situation, this is obviously Mr. Beast's greatest video.
I'd love to see
where
that.
Does he go from here? I mean,
yeah, he's got to ratchet it up now.
Everything
also,
he's in the game of like what next?
You got to go out at the top, and I don't think there could be a better way for him to go than to be dismembered by a gorilla, limb from limb.
Well, obviously he wouldn't do it, Gareth, but I'd
like him to actually man up and do it. But I mean, what's he going to pay someone else to do it?
He's going to get 100 men. Have you not seen his videos?
He's got to be one of them.
Okay, maybe. But have you not seen, like, his videos are big on scale, right? So that he'll have, like, he recreated Squid Games.
Yeah, all right.
He has factory, warehouse.
I would like him to be in the vanguard of that activity.
It would be the biggest.
Not because I don't like the guy.
It would be the biggest video of all time. If he gets 100 men into a factory warehouse situation, which he owns, and then they just unveil a gorilla.
But please, Ben, you know what's going to happen. If the animal rights people be all
Peter
over
have already said.
Oh, Jesus. There's no fun anymore. Can't hunt. Can't eat meat. Can't fart, can't do anything because of climate change and animal rights.
But you know,
a bunch of people who really would not be able to face down a gorilla, telling the rest of us what to do. By the way, James, Flex, gorilla or 100 men? James says 100 men. Flex? 100 men.
Yeah. Well, you guys got confidence that they have composure.
All right.
I'm just, I look at human nature. People get.
This is just, I don't know if we mentioned this, this is specifically a silverback gorilla.
Yeah, a silverback gorilla, which means an old male. Okay, yeah, but those are the strongest ones.
Okay. I was just making sure.
Yeah. What it comes down to is who's the first person that's going to die? The first person that runs up to that gorilla.
No, they're fucked. I mean, the gorilla will just, their head will go like a grape.
It's also, it's a gorilla that knows it's being killed.
Have you ever seen what a chimpanzee can do? If you said to me,
there was a story about a woman,
100 men versus 100 chimpanzees, then I'd be betting on the chimpanzees.
Oh, any day.
Oh, for sure. Even 10 chimpanzees.
I forget what that woman's name now is, but she had a chimp.
Yeah, the face-eater chimp?
Yeah, the chimp just turned on her one day and she
tore her face off.
Just tore it to pieces. Yeah.
She looks like a bad special effects thing now.
She looks like an old banana. it's just
horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. All right. So, very important. Canada had their elections this week. Given the opportunity to fuck up, Canada has fucked up. They've chosen a guy called Mark Carney. I don't know if you know anything about him. Let me give you a very brief CV. He's worked in the world of global finance. He was the chairman of the Bank of Canada, chairman of the Bank of England. Supposedly very fiscally and financially smart guy. But then those are precisely the people who got us into the global financial crisis of 2008. And I don't trust one of them. Very much a WEF, World Economic Forum type guy. He's like Trudeau, but not as good looking, really. That's the only thing I could say about Mark Carney. Very much in the left and in the climate change agenda group, into all kinds of government must be in charge of your life stuff. So I really think Canada fucked up badly. I saw this on the internet just this week as well, which I think is so accurate. Put up that picture of it's a well-known meme now. Not necessarily of Canada, but in this case, of Canada. Got it? Yeah. It's okay, I'll wait. I mean, it's just a live show. There we are. I'm not in a good place right now. Are you in Canada? So that's what we know about the guy. So it's not only our country that makes stupid and irrational and self-defeating decisions. Clearly, a country like Canada does the same. I spoke to a friend of mine in Australia, another country that doesn't seem to make very good decisions. I spoke to him just last night, and he said to me he has a friend in Australia who moved there from Canada. This guy was originally from Romania, which is right next door to Bulgaria. Okay, not a great place during the 70s, especially. We had Ceausescu, remember him? Terrible communist dictator, effectively. Anyway, this guy moved from Romania to Canada, and one day his daughter came home and said that the school has told her it's okay for her to use the boys' toilets and for the boys to use her toilets. And he packed up their things and said, we're going to Canada.
Australia.
Yeah, I mean, to Australia from Canada. And he said that, you know, that the place has lost its mind. And clearly what happens is when things get too good, and Canada's been an amazing country for a very long time. It's been kind of the star of the show in terms of liberal democracies and countries that just are effective and function properly. There's rule of law, there's kindness and consideration. They're like America, but with a softer, gentler, kind of fuzzier image, right? And they've managed that for a long time. But now it's all gone beyond because of decadence. This always happens, right? So civilization grows and grows and gets better and better and progresses, and then it reaches a point where, an inflection point where it's just too much of that stuff. and the society itself starts to cave in. And that's what we're seeing in Canada now. So I don't celebrate this, by the way. I've got lots of friends in Canada. I think it's a great country. But I can tell you now, I don't think their future is terrifically bright. Anything to say about Canada?
No, I've never been there. But I think it's like you say decadence, but I think people just, when people start to make their own problems, that's the huge thing.
That's a first, we know when people say first world problems. Mm. Like, for example, in Canada now, they won't discuss things like immigration. You're just considered. You remember what Trudeau did when the truck protesters against COVID? He froze their money. I mean, these are the kind of things that authoritarian governments in the very worst parts of the world would do. So I'm concerned. And they had a chance here to vote in this guy called Pierre Poilievre, who seemed to me to be a fairly good starting point for a new kind of and slightly better functioning Canada. But let's see what happens. Also, just down the road in America, Michelle Obama had this to say I think she was recording a podcast or something. And everybody is freaking out over this, you know, big mic stuff. But here it is from her own mouth. So up to now, it's been Obama making mistakes in interviews, mentioning the Bear Grylls or one of those guys like, oh, my mic instead of my Michelle. But here she is talking about herself in the first person. Take a listen to this.
And that's, you know, that warms my heart, particularly as a Black man.
You heard that. As a Black man.
Oh, big Mike.
I don't know if you need more than that to work on.
But also, I mean, the age that Big Mike's at now, just let it out, be you.
It's a funny thing.
Do what you need to do.
I watched she's got a podcast now.
Of course.
Yeah. Everybody's got a podcast. Anyway, Big Mike's podcast is her and her brother and like some other, and they get guests in or whatever. But they talk about like stuff that you could tell. I think we played a clip from one just the other day. You can tell it's been set up by some PR firm. You know, like she's got people who work.
All the same people that have Meghan Markle's podcast.
Yeah,
all
exactly.
Kind of shit.
It's like, these are the sanitized subjects that you can discuss.
Yeah.
These will get you good clicks. And this is the kind of stuff that the internet is responding to at the moment. Let me tell you something. If you work for one of those companies that does trend research or anything else, some of them are very good, but some of them are just pointless, useless people. What they're doing is analyzing after the fact, trying to project things forward. If you try to be the trendiest person, if you try to make yourself popular, good luck to you. I hope you fail horrifically, because there's nothing more inauthentic than someone who's clout chasing. Mm. And that's clearly what they're doing with this show. Now, I don't believe that Michelle Obama is in a bad place. I think Michelle Obama has a pretty damn good life. How old are the Obamas now? They're in their 50s? Somewhere around there.
He's always known that.
They've been well known, the Obamas, for at least the last 20 years. Really well known. All over. Maybe the most famous couple in the world for a while. Right?
Yeah.
I think that's fair to say. I think it's fair to say that generally Barack Obama is still held in pretty high regard by most people in the world, as is Michelle. Well, on the podcast, which I haven't listened to, but someone sent me a clip of. I could not bear to listen to that for more than 10 minutes. But someone sent me a clip. Michelle Obama complaining about how people are looking at their phones and they're not noticing her, which just frightens the hell out of me, because surely attention seeking shouldn't be among your priorities when you're as famous and as rich and as well established as the Obamas are. I mean, how can Michelle be bothered by the fact that people are looking at their phones? Not that that isn't a problem.
Yeah.
But that the reason that she's cross is not because they're looking at their phones, which is bad enough, but that they're not paying enough attention to her. You know, she was complaining once about how I think we played this clip too. She went to a shopping center or something, you know, because she's so normal. She's not driven around by blue light brigades and has her groceries flown in from, I don't know, some fancy place where they only grow wild salmon. Who knows? Anyway, she was saying she was in the shops and someone mistook her for a worker in the shop. And she was hugely offended because obviously she's better than a worker.
Of course.
I think it's weird that people who've got everything going for them still find things to moan about. First world problems.
But also, we've touched on this with the Meghan Markle as well, is that these people want podcasts so they can come across as being relatable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
People that can resonate with you.
Yes.
But they do that because they want that while still having the arms distance, like, oh no, I'm still better than you. But a podcast, unfortunately, you can't hide in a podcast. You know, if you notice that, like, Joe Rogan was the first guy to get really big guests on. But then he never really got major movie stars. And I was thinking about this the other day, like, why don't these guys go onto podcasts? And then because I saw...
They've got nothing to say.
This is exactly it. So then I listened to... Then the Theo Von guy had Ben Affleck on.
Yeah.
I made, I think, 12 minutes. He had nothing to say.
Was it horrible?
It was so fucking boring. Like, beyond boring.
Well, he has to be boring. He married J-Lo, and the two of them were together for a long time.
But
can you imagine those conversations?
But he kind of...
Ben, I am very tired today. What do you think the problem is?
Well, I don't know, Jen. I'll make you some coffee.
I don't want no coffee. I want tequila.
Jen, you're a 50-year-old woman. You got to start behaving yourself at some point.
Don't tell me what to do, gringo. I fucking kill you. I have a knife in my bag.
I can't imagine those two having anything nearly as exciting as what I've just told you they were talking about. I think their conversations, all actors, go something like this.
What's your latest project? Well, I'm pretending to be a ship's captain in the 1700s. Oh, that's exciting. What are you pretending to be? I'm pretending to be a superhero who can fly and punch monsters and then knock them out. Oh, that's exciting.
Who are you working with? Oh, I'm working with...
Pity about Harvey Weinstein.
You know, that kind of thing. That's their whole conversation.
Yeah. But look, it was a... In that 12 minutes, I took quite a lot out of it because what Ben Affleck actually said, the only thing that actually stood out, other than it just felt like word farts, is that, you know, before when there was no access to, like, people through social media, people held actors into a certain light.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas now, because they expect all the access, they realize the actors are quite normal people.
They're quite boring people,
and then
should
what that does is it doesn't get you excited about movies because you've now seen this guy at, like, at a Starbucks, whatever, waiting in a queue. It's like, that's Iron Man or that's whatever.
Oh.
So for them, it must be really worrying because people want access and they want to relate with you.
Don't you think the price of fame has come down to all-time lows? We talk about the price of Bitcoin when we opened the show because it's a constant conversation in the comments section. I'm not ignoring you, comment section. It's just I have not much to say about that this morning. But the price of fame has got to be at an all-time low.
But how do you maintain that? And then there's the facade you keep up for your craft, so to speak, but yet you also kind of want to be a human. It's a really weird balancing act. But I think a lot of people, it's like sports people too. And people always say to me, like, you know, who's the most amazing sports person I've met? And I'm like, I don't really think of it like that.
Yeah.
Because they're good at sport. And I don't want to talk sport with sports people all the time because I know what they've done. Like, what did it feel like to do this? To me, that's the stupidest question. If anyone asked that on the show, I don't watch the show. It must have been really amazing to win that thing. Yes, it was really amazing to win that. Fuck, of course.
But that's also why so many sports shows have struggled to make interesting content. I mean, I've got to say again, what Ben and Sandile and the team do on The Bounce is very, very fucking cool. It's for someone who doesn't watch sport, I find it's like what Top Gear did for cars, and I wasn't ever a car guy. I became a car guy later on because of that show. I took an interest in things. I would never have used the word torque or horsepower in my life until I started watching that show, and I only started watching it because it was entertaining.
It's
and then
good.
Eventually got interested in the cars along the way.
It's aged really well. I think it's still really great.
It's still good, and the same goes for what you guys are doing with On the Bounce, but I do want to go back to the working classes because there's also this funny thing that's happened in the world, and it's become a big deal over the last probably 5 to 10 years, where those people who are famous, you know, Meghan Markle, Michelle Obama, these famous people who are trying to connect Ben Affleck with ordinary people to be relatable. The reality is, like, there is no relationship going on there. Those, they like the working class people to admire them from a distance. You said an arm's length. They don't want to be in the working class people's proximity. They don't want to be going down to the pub and sharing a gallon of brown ale with Dick the plumber. They don't. They just don't. They don't like those people. Similarly, the working class people must be held in thrall. They must want to be these famous and well-known and powerful people. And most working class people these days have also seen through the crap. And they're like, no, I may just be a plumber, an electrician, teacher, policeman, construction worker, but I'm actually more important to society than you are. I think they've realized that. Mm. And they are more important. Given a broken toilet, you don't need a politician or a extremely well-paid lawyer or a complicated urban planner or public administration expert. What you need is a fucking plumber. At that moment, you would part with double the money that the lawyer would charge to have that toilet of yours fixed. And those guys know that they're more important to the world's economy than these, turbo nerds who are talking about AI the whole time.
Management consultants.
So I want to play this for you because the working class deserves some credit, but they also deserve some mockery. This is a great clip that I just absolutely love from Mr. Chumley Warner, courtesy of Harry Enfield. It's just brilliant. So here's the working classes in England as they would have been depicted in the 1920s, and in some ways they still are.
Good evening, Grayson. So what have you been doing since we last met?
Why, co-blimey, Governor. I led the Cheese and Kisses and the God Forbids and the Rat and Mouse, took Flounder and Dab down the Frog and Toad, but I had a very pleasant pint of Pig's Ear and a large Pimple and Blotch.
You've been down to the East End again, haven't you, Grayson?
You've tumbled me.
What's it like?
Well, rather like this. Slum housing is the order of the day in the East End, and the people like it that way. Of course, you and I might think they'd be happier in nice houses like ours. But top scientists have proved that if you give a working man a nice house, he'll quickly let it fall into a state of filth and depravity. That's how he likes it.
Nation do-gooders, they'd have given us a perishing inside toilet now.
Inside toilet? I ain't never not heard of one of them, nor I ain't no nor nothing. A dozen no's, a dozen no's. Mind if I pop outside and foul your pavement?
Sure. Very much.
Their sanitary habits may be disgusting, but the East Enders are famous for their vibrant street life and friendly community spirit.
Here, you dirty rotter, you caught me in the Queensbury's.
And the Duncan Brawl said, hi.
On Saturday nights, Sid and Harry's wives can be found at the local pub, drinking gin and singing poor quality songs. Or at the music hall, viewing a vulgarette. But not everyone has tonight off. Indeed, for this lady of ill repute, it's her busiest night of the week.
Hello, Nelly. What's your charge in tonight, then?
Sixpence halfpenny for acts of appalling depravity. 1 and 6 to fuddle-duddle with me whatchamacallits. And 2 shillings to waddle up me whips a day, isn't
it? What do I get for tuppence?
Mum!
Yeah. But something I've always wanted to know, Grayson. Do the working classes in the East End smell?
Yes, most frightfully.
Thank you, you've reassured me. I won't go there. Good night, Grayson.
Good night, Mr. Chumley Warner. Or should I say, ta-ra, Governor?
No.
All right, very good. So you got to remember, the working classes, everybody knows their place. It's very important.
Go foul the pavement outside your house.
Yeah, you mind if I go and foul the pavement outside your house? Very good. All right, so we were talking just now about gorillas, 100 men versus 1 gorilla. It could be a new sport. You were suggesting Mr. Beast should do it.
So what I was going to suggest that we got sidetracked is, you know, they brought back the dire wolves.
Yes.
Can we bring back one gorilla just for the video?
Oh, you mean...
So like we don't take anything, we don't go to Rwanda and take a gorilla or like a...
Oh, you
we
mean just, genetically engineer one?
Yes.
You see, then people will have an issue because they'll say it's not a natural-born gorilla. Will it have certain genetic advantages if we engineer it back to life? I think go a little further. Let's make a T-Rex. Let's not fuck around. We've got places like Madagascar. I mean, sure, there are people who live there, but it's a terrible place. We should just put a T-Rex there and see what happens.
Yeah, it's true. There's so many islands that we can probably do that with.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, even take an uninhabited one. There's got to be an uninhabited island. The T-Rex doesn't have to last
plenty.
Forever. Find such an island. T-Rex might not last, but it'll be fucking fun to watch for while it does. Right? Or a pterodactyl. I mean, the number of times I wake up in a fevered, terrified, can't breathe properly. It's happened 3 or 4 times where I've thought about, oh my God, a pterodactyl. I mean, that's got to be the most horrific,
I think anything,
frightening.
Anything that scary that can fly?
Jesus.
Yeah, that must have been the scariest thing.
By far.
Yeah.
You're just relaxing, making a fire. Takes you a long time in those days. You weren't sure how it happened, right? It wasn't like if I click these rocks together and make a spark, I'm going to get a fire. It was complex engineering for our ancestors. And you got your shaggy long hair and a bone through your nose or whatever. And you're wearing like Fred Flintstone type clothes. And your wife is in the cave and she's nurturing the newborn on her tit. And then suddenly you hear this, rah! And you think, oh, take cover. But while you're about to take cover, you just see this enormous shadow come over you.
Well, you feel the wind of the wings.
You feel the wind of the wings. Just this enormous, like, cyclone. And it probably knocks you off your feet. And then you're lying there, and you hope it's going for some piece of livestock further along. But alas, the giant claws grab you. Or the beak just picks you up. And the beak is like a... It's like being swallowed into a bus, just the beak part.
Mm.
And then next thing, you're down the gullet. Oh, my God. Justin Garrett says, Madagascar is shit and should be filled up with T-Rexes. Yes, that would be IOL's headline tomorrow, if anybody bothered to pay attention to IOL. I do want to, before we go into more of the dinosaurs and gorillas and such things, I want to show you a new Australian sport they've developed, because we'll get to sport after this. Australia's always, I think they're trying to reestablish their masculinity, because Australia's become a very safe nanny state,
yeah,
very feminized
Sunny
society.
Canada.
Right. So it is a bit like Canada. And here's a new sport, which I think may be the beginning of Australia getting its balls back. You know, the old days of Crocodile Dundee, Kevin Bloody Wilson, you know, miners calling every girl a Sheila. We've got to bring those days back. Australia needs some self-respect. Here's a new sport. This could be the key.
You got to see this to believe it. Come with me as I check out Australia's new most viral extreme sport called Run It at Melbourne Pavilion.
2-1, Run It!
This is probably one of the most fucked up things I've ever seen, but in a good way. Quite literally, a car crash on legs. This new viral combat sport is basically two giants going head to head and running it straight. The objective is to win the collision on the best of 4. But if you knock out your opponent in those 4 rounds, well, guess what? You win. There's a defender and an offender, and they take it in turns. And each round is judged on a 10-8 scorecard. You lose points if you get knocked over or you don't run directly up that fucking yellow line. These big boys go head to head, round after round, until someone gets their hand raised. Probably thinking there's a lot of similarities to boxing, and there is. Even down to my favorite parts, which is the entrance. They get a walk-in song, the whole fucking lot. The boys competing chuck lip in the press conference, and they also chuck lip in between the rounds. You're probably thinking, why the fuck would anyone do this? Well, there was a $20,000 prize pool for the person who won. So that's why. If you think you've got what it takes, well, good luck to you, because I would never fucking do this.
I can tell you where that came from. That's, okay, yep. Well, we played that in high school a long time ago, and I'm pretty sure some small kids got concussed. But you know, that's how you grow.
Smaller children, that's what happens.
That has completely come from the Polynesian guys in rugby teams.
Oh.
Absolutely. The big oaks from like the Maori countries, like Samoa,
right,
Tonga, Fiji.
Just rush at each other until someone's head explodes.
Because they're big and that's just what they do. And they're strong and they're crazy. That's basically like rugby's version of slap fight.
Okay. But I do like it. I mean, it could be the beginning of something.
There are worse sports that pop up.
Okay.
So, but that is basically, you know, people talk about head traumas and things like that in rugby. That sport basically is the exact opposite of that, which I, cool.
I'm a fan. T-Rex versus King Kong. Let's go. Let's start making that. Turn Madagascar into Jurassic Park for tourists. The East End now includes the whole of London except for Chelsea and Kensington. Basically, it's just people ramming each other, says Carl. Yeah, I think it is, but it's not the worst sport I've seen. I've seen a lot of stupid sport. I still don't know who in the whole world plays lacrosse.
Rich
I will
people.
Never understand
rich
that.
Kids in America.
Stupid thing. Let's get to some actual sport. Ben has a busy weekend ahead, and he's going to tell you about it. Save our time.
Well, we got to catch up on the football because you know it's like the cup season.
So you said you were worried about the season when we were starting the show, and you and James had a conversation about that. What are you worried about?
It's not. It's absolutely not how I'm looking to start this.
But go on.
Oh, man, yeah. Look, I'm. We get to the stage now where your season is defined by what you've won.
Yeah.
So Newcastle, working class people, soiling each other's pavements outside the house, they've won the Carabao Cup. They've got something, right?
What's that cup again?
That's like the League Cup. So all the teams in the Premier League, they play for the Carabao Cup.
Okay.
It's a very lesser tournament, but it's a trophy.
Right.
Then there's the FA Cup, which Man City are going to be taking on Crystal Palace. That'll be 17th of May.
Mm-hmm.
That's just they'll win that. So they've had a shit season, but they'll win the FA Cup. Then you get Liverpool, absolutely strolled to an easy kind of English Premier League win with Arne Slot as their new coach manager person.
That's not a great name.
Yeah, but he's bald and Dutch. I mean,
Arne Slot.
What else do you want from him?
Arne Slot.
So those three teams are going to have something to show for their season. Chelsea are in this. Participation league thing, the Conference Cup, I think it's called.
Sounds bad.
But, they've got a good chance because they're playing against mostly, like, kick-around teams. And then Man United and Spurs are both doing well in the Europa Cup, as in they'll probably get to the final.
Okay.
So one of those useless fucking teams is going to win a big trophy, which then just leaves Arsenal having to win the Champions League, the hardest to win out of all of those things, for their trophy of the year.
Okay.
So I wouldn't say I'm worried. I'm just saying that it's a daunting road ahead.
All right.
But speaking of Champions League this week, Arsenal weren't their best. They went 1-0 down to Paris Saint-Germain at home, which wasn't ideal. Barcelona drew with Inter Milan 3-3. So we're going to the second leg of the semifinal of the Champions League. The deficit, as you can tell, are very tight. It's exciting. Like, it's a really exciting kind of finish to where this is going. The Europa League, like I mentioned, that Man United and Spurs are still in. Man United won 3-0 yesterday against Athletic Club. And then Spurs beat these Norwegian fishermen 3-1.
What Norwegian fishermen?
Bodø Glimt.
That's really a team?
They're fourth in the Norwegian league.
Huh.
So Spurs played them. They won 3-1. Like, when Bodø Glimt come together, the capacity for their stadium is 9,200 people.
It's like a high school.
Basically, they strapped it onto the fish yard. Yeah, yeah. So that's happening.
They're fucking hot supporters, though.
Oh, I bet they do. Huh? Especially these months when they get out of like the igloos and get a bit of sunshine on them.
Ingrid's and they'll pitch up then go Bodø Glimt or whatever.
Bodø Glimt, they'll be watching. Yeah,
because that's where they'll be into it.
So the second leg of that's going to be in Bodø Glimt.
That's where you go to find a wife. That's where I'm going to go to find a wife. I'll go to a Bodø Glimt match.
Yeah, now's a good time because they're riding high.
Think about those Scandinavian women. You can't tell if they're 25 or 49.
I have that problem already with people.
You can't tell age? We'll get back to this later. Carry on with the sport.
So, and then there's a CAF Champions League. So, unfortunately, Pirates fell out of that. But Sundowns will be taking on the Pyramids because they beat Al Ahly. So, that'll be 24th of May. There's two legs in that final for some bizarre reason. So that's where we sit currently in the cups. English Premier League, though, so we all know Liverpool's won that. So we all know who the relegated teams are. But the whole thing for the top four is the big talking point here. So,
look at that.
So if you look at the points currently, Newcastle, as I said, they're doing really well. 62 points, they look pretty good. There's four rounds to go. Man City 61, And then Chelsea, Nottingham Forest on 60, Aston Villa 57. So those are the teams that are in the running for this Champions League spot. You've got to finish top four, I think it is. They say that there's an extra English team coming into it, but you're always gunning for the top four. So you would think, I mean, Nottingham Forest, unfortunately, they've just really fallen away. They lost to Brentford last night, so they're not going to make it. Momentum's not on their side. Maths is, but still, between Chelsea, Man City, Newcastle, you think, yeah, it's between them. It really is. If Chelsea can get through there, it'd be a huge thing. So tonight, Man City will take on the Wolves at 9. Saturday, we've got Aston Villa versus Fulham at 1:30, Arsenal versus the Bournemouth at 6:30, and then Sunday's big game, Chelsea versus Liverpool. So I know Liverpool's won the league. Their season's kind of over, but they're going to keep going because they're a champion team. Chelsea with all to play for, so that's the big game, Sunday at 5:30. And then Monday, Crystal Palace versus Nottingham Forest, who are just on the way down. And then in the PSL, Sundowns this week, I think, kind of won it. They won their match. Pirates lost to Stikkar Kune. So Pirates, yeah, they're 12 points behind now. They've got two games in hand, but even if they win those two games, they're still then at 6 points behind. I think Sundowns have won the PSL from here. They'll take on Cape Town City for more points on Saturday at 8. And then the big Soweto derby, Chiefs versus Pirates, will be at 3 o'clock this Saturday. So we're in the very rare situation of having back-to-back Soweto derbies this week just for the PSL, which is really huge because Chiefs are currently in 9th. They need to make it in the top 8 to be in the MTN 8, which is how they start the next season. And they went in it last year. So they have to win this. And then next week is the Nedbank Cup final, which is RFA Cup. And that'll be at Moses Mabhida Stadium. So if you like the Soweto derby, well, you've just got 2 weeks of it coming up. If you think there's too much of it, yeah, give this one a skip. And then other big news, obviously, Accrington Stanley is safe. Oh, they beat Walsall last week.
That's what I was
week.
Waiting for, actually.
They were always flirting in the relegation line in League Two, but they beat Walsall last week. Huge results. So no matter what happens for the rest of the season, there's only a couple of games left, they are safe. Oh. Big rugby great this weekend, relief. Not so much for the SA teams because they were shite in the cup competitions, but the EPCR Challenge Cup semis, that will take place this weekend. Edinburgh versus Bath, Saturday at 6:30. Sunday, Lyon versus Racing 92 at 1:30. And then the Investec Champions Cup. So those are the really big, big teams. Saturday will be Leinster versus Northampton at 6:30. And then the Bordeaux-Beglers will take on Toulouse at 4. So last year's final was Leinster-Toulouse. Good chance of that coming through again this year. But I really think the Bordeaux-Beglers are going to be the ones to go and win that one. They're playing at home. They're bloody good. And I think that'll be a them and Leinster final. Yeah, not the biggest sporting weekend. That's pretty much it.
It's a game.
Lots of football. There's always golf being played around the world. There's always people punching each other around the world. And I'm sure there's always cricket. IPL's still going.
I think people punching each other around the world is a very good way to look at the world.
IPL's going. A 14-year-old kid
yes.
strode to the crease in the IPL, and he scored 135 balls. 14.
Is he a prodigy of some kind?
He's fucking 14, Gareth. You can call him what you want.
No, but I mean...
Call him the Zeus. If you...
This could be the next big thing. And if he is, he's got a long career ahead of him.
14 years old and you scored the second... Not just like scored 100, the second fastest 100.
That's incredible. Where is he from?
He's Indian.
Oh. Well, I foresee a lot of money being thrown his way.
14.
That's pretty impressive. I mean, that's good. Those parents got a great return on investment.
It's just like... Right?
Whatever they've been feeding him, the school fees, the cricket training, if he's had any, the bat, the pads, they are looking at themselves now going, you know what? That was a very, very good investment. This child's going to make us world famous and rich.
I just always think, how do you maintain that? Okay, so... I think it's like when you start banging chicks like super early. Your youth's a bit fucked, let's be honest.
Yeah, probably.
This folks now scored 100 in the biggest cricket thing.
If you're 12 years old, start, yeah.
How does he go to school now? What does he do?
Well, he's not going to learn maths. But he doesn't need to. He just needs to watch the scoreboard. You know what, Ben? You don't have – not everyone's going to be a balanced person. There are going to have to be people we have to send in to fight the guerrilla.
I get that. I don't think balance is actually healthy.
Got to be working classes. They've got to be Michelle Obama's.
The point I bring up is that how does he maintain this so that he does have a career when you're so young and you've just done this?
I would say, without being sarcastic or ridiculous, because I normally would be on something like this, that this guy's biggest challenge is going to be psychological and mental, not
completely
physical, financial, or absolutely any of those things. His big issue is going to be the same as a child star or a Tiger Woods or any of those kind of people. They're going to have good mentoring, coaching, psychological assessment, therapy, all the way through this, because suddenly what's going to happen? What, do you know the kid's name? Doesn't matter yet.
It's a long name, Gareth. I'm not going to use it now.
Okay.
I don't. I just know that he was 14.
All right. I mean, that's amazing. I'm very, very impressed by stuff like that. I always love the idea of the idiot savant. And people always think it's an insult because the word idiot comes in front. But often you find someone who's really quite ordinary in most respects, but then they have this one thing that they are just supremely gifted in. You know, it could be someone who plays the piano.
Yeah.
Just effortlessly at age 7. Blow everyone away. Everyone sits there going, oh my God, she's playing Rachmaninoff at the piano. Some little girl from Japan or whatever. And you get a kid like this, a 14-year-old who could score the one of the fastest hundreds in history. It's just that drives me wild with excitement. I love the idea of these brilliant, brilliant people.
Yeah.
Go on.
So I can tell you his name. It is Vaibhav Suryavanshi.
Great.
And in his very next game, he got fuck all.
Ah, well.
Two balls, duck.
Yeah.
Life giveth, life taketh.
Uh-huh. That's why you're going to need the therapy.
But this is the thing. So he's going to be young. He's going through this kind of stuff. But at 14, to have already done that, and everyone's going to be talking about him as that guy, to maintain that is just going to be, that's going to be the real feat.
Yeah.
I'm positive for him.
Pressure.
I think it's great. But cheapest, to do that at 14 is just crazy.
That's fantastic. All right, so good sports stuff that we've got to look forward to, even though you said it's quite a quiet weekend. You mentioned something else which I do want to pick up on before we finish this hour. It's like you don't know what age people are.
No, I brought it up.
What do you mean?
I brought it up because last week when I was talking about the gym.
Yeah, the old man.
And like talking to girls at gym.
Yeah.
You struggle with that because like when you're in a bar, you kind of know people are obviously older than 18.
Well, probably you hope.
Like 21.
You hope. I mean, the proprietor could be a fucking asshole who lets in anyone.
See, that was like
you
the
never
last.
Know.
Yeah.
So you don't even have a baseline to work off of.
Well, when you look at someone by themselves, it's difficult. When you see them in a group, you can kind of gauge their friend group, and then you have like a bit of a balance.
That is if they have friends their own age.
Which is common. People's friends normally are
mostly
their peers.
But there are occasionally, you will find there is someone quite young who hangs around with people much older, and sometimes you will find someone who's quite old who hangs around with people much younger.
The exception, yeah.
Yeah. But that does happen.
But it helps in the process of gauging how old someone is.
All right, so what do you look for? What are the telltale signs in order to establish someone's age? Because when someone asks me that, I get nervous. I'm like, I don't know. They go, how old do you think I am? It's usually someone in their late 40s, and they want you to say, well, you're 30, 32.
Yeah.
And then they go, ah, you're off by a decade.
It's the worst question in the world because you're only going to get it wrong, and I hate lying. And I know it's polite to go, oh, I think you are this minus 7, 25. Because it's like, come on.
It's calculated.
It's bullshit. And then I think you're 33, and then they go, ouch. It's like, what do you mean? It's like, well, I'm 32. Like, okay, well, good for you.
Well, that's not so bad. I'm almost on the nose.
I hope you've had a wonderful time in those 32 years.
Yeah.
And play super games with me.
But don't get cross.
Ouch.
Don't get cross if it's like a year off. That's pretty good guessing.
Now, if people ask me that, I just go, you know what? I'm probably going to be offensive right now, but it's a dumb question. Naturally, I've got all the charm in the world, as you can see.
What you should do, really, and it'll stop, because eventually word will spread that you're not the person to ask. You should go, well, judging by the liver spots on your hands, I'd say you're probably in your 50s. The wrinkles around your eyes make you at least 42. But perhaps on a good day and with your tit job, you could get away with being 37. So I would say your starting point's 37 and your end point's 52. And you're somewhere in the middle there. Do you want me to get more specific? If you do, I'll need to take a closer look. That'll stop all the shit straight away.
Under the bonnet.
Yeah. Yeah. Under the bonnet.
But as you get older, I find these things become more enjoyable. And at this stage, if you don't find it funny, then I'm not the person for you.
Oh, exactly.
It's unfortunately just how it's going to go.
Yeah, really.
People ask stupid questions, they go and get stupid answers. I can't do polite stuff. It's so bad.
Well, we'll worry about all of that and more in the next hour. We've got an action-packed hour between 7 and 8 this morning. Don't go anywhere. The Real Network, Gareth Cliff Show, and I see lots of crazy shit going on in the comments. We'll get to all of that next, too. Don't go anywhere.